This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. A rough one for the Yankees last night at the hands of the Tampa Bay Rays, more specifically Mets castoff Travis d'Arno, with not one, not two, but three home runs, including a three-run homer with two strikes and two outs off of Aroldis Chapman in the top of the ninth inning, and the Rays go on to win 5-4. Edwin Encarnacion hits a couple of home runs. They've got a lead going into the ninth. Here comes Chapman, but Travis d'Arno, the Travis d'Arno, would not be denied. The leadoff hitter, by the way, for the Rays. A leadoff hitter, a catcher, and a man who is a Yankee slayer, apparently. Mets off, but they find a way to get some bad news out there on their off day as Zach Wheeler, their most enticing trade target, goes on the IL with shoulder fatigue. Just what teams who want to trade for him want to hear a couple of weeks away from the deadline. Oh, yeah, this guy that we think is going to save our season and be someone we throw in a rotation for a playoff run, yeah, let's trade for him and his shoulder fatigue. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I told you they should have never gotten rid of d'Arno. I told you. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously.
That game last night, there was one. Forget about Chapman blowing up. It's going to happen every now and again. I get it. But there is one obvious thing about the New York Yankees that they do so much better than the Mets. And even though the statistics don't really show it, it's just when you watch the games, you see it.
Defensively. Oh, yeah. Aaron Judge throwing a guy out at third. Gio Urshela's play at third base. I mean, even though Gary Sanchez ended up throwing a ball away, Gleyber Torres with a late cover in the bag, and then he ends up picking a guy off a second. They're just their aptitude defensively, yes, is impressive. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, I but not only that, how about everything? How about they do everything better than the Mets? Right?
What I was trying to say though is that the defense, when it needs to be there, that throw by Aaron Judge last night was ridiculous. I mean, he took the ball, and turned around and not even taking a step, really. I mean, just launches it. And when the ball hits the ground, you don't think it's going to make it to third base, right? You just don't think it's going to make it to third base. But that second bounce was like, boom, and it like exploded.
It was like skipping a rock at a lake.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But, you know, he threw it to the cutoff man. Gleyber let it go. And next thing you know, it's an out of third base. That's about as impressive as it gets.
I think it actually might have hit. Looking at that last replay at CBS Sports Network play, I think it might actually hit the lip of the grass, and that accelerated it in a way to make sure that he got it. I mean, anyway, you slice it. I mean, he's got a great arm out there in right field.
But I will say, now, the Yankees, the bats have got to start waking up again. And it's fine Encarnacion hitting home runs and Urshela, but we're not seeing it from Voit. We're not seeing it from Torres. We're not seeing it from, obviously, Sanchez, who's in a prolonged slump now, right now, coming out of the All-Star break. And Aaron Judge has got to get going. I mean, like, it's almost like they have too much.
They did enough last night, though.
Yeah, sure, they did. I mean, it comes down to one pitcher of one inning. And how long have we been saying that about the Mets?
Sure, right. I mean, and Travis d'Arno, it being Travis d'Arno for New York baseball fans, I mean, there is, you know, of course, a storyline there. And this is a guy who looks comfortable at the plate. I mean, I'm not going to go back and turn this thing into the Mets should have never gotten rid of the guy, or I can't believe this is happening. No one wanted him on the team when the Mets ended up getting rid of him. And yes, it looked like a rookie general manager not knowing what he was doing, because he ends up bringing him up, making him a part of the 25-man roster, and then having to DFA the guy, and there's money that they had to eat, and it looks silly. It's just another example, though, where it's frustrating from a Mets fan standpoint, just another example of a guy who looked like he was dead in his career and then goes to a place that's more stable and then ends
less
up
pressure.
ends up rejuvenating the career. And then you hear, you know, these quotes from Darno last night about how it's, you know, it's just a, let's see. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of fight in this place, which are all things that the Mets don't have, you know? So that's the only thing. I don't think the Mets did a bad thing or Brody did a bad thing cutting bait when he did. But it is, it's just annoying.
He's killing the Yankees, though.
Oh, my God.
He's killing the Yankees.
It's unbelievable.
It's actually kind of fun to watch for the guy. I'm happy for him. Because there's nothing worse than coming back from an injury and not being yourself and then basically being made an example of.
Right.
And, you know, goodbye, you can't play anymore. We got to, like, you go. And then the team, like, Tampa picks him up. Why? Because, you know, on the cheap. And this is the way they have to do business. And they get more out of him for what they're paying him than the Mets ever even got close to.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for him. I'm happy for him. He's not a bad dude. He's a good guy. You know, the Mets have a lot of really good guys on the team. Like, you want to root for a lot of these guys. But it's like watching him leave and go there and play with little or no pressure, even though they are in a pennant race, to me is just, it's like there's something wrong. There's just something wrong around the Mets.
Yeah, fundamentally?
No, I don't know. You want to sit here and talk about fundamentally? You want to talk about dysfunction of the front office? You want to talk about ineptitude? I mean, there's a lot of different words you could use to describe it, but there's just something not right. And I don't know what, you know, I can't put my finger on it. I guess the easy thing is to say it's ownership, okay? So we could all, I guess, agree on that. But still, when you get to the game, the owners are not playing the game. It's the manager and the general manager. They're the ones who control the team on a day-to-day basis. And you would like to think that you have guys. And the fact that they took 2 out of 3 from Miami is a good start. And the fact that DeGrom and Syndergaard got their wins, that's a good start. The fact that Gazelman got a save and Diaz got a save, that's a good thing. Lugo looked good in games that they won. So all that stuff should have been happening more consistently before the All-Star break. So maybe it's something that will happen a little bit more consistently after the All-Star break. But you know, it's just there's something fundamentally wrong with the whole thing. The way it's I don't know what maybe it's just the feeling that we hear this word culture so much used in sports. Maybe it's the culture. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something there because it's years and years of examples like this. I mean, the biggest one, of course, is Justin Turner. I'm not going to go over that whole thing again because that's been beaten to death over the years, but I mean, that's a good reason why, or maybe not a good reason, but a reason why the Mets are going to be hesitant to trade a guy like Noah Syndergaard, because if Travis Darno, who is someone who is a complete zero for the Mets the beginning of this year, can go to Tampa, and it was more than just that, though, because it was just an injury that would have put him on the IL, let him rehab, and bring him back.
But he was coming off of an injury, is what I'm saying. So, and every athlete's a little bit different as to how long it takes them to come back and feel comfortable. But, you know, he's catching now, he's hitting now, and I don't know. I'm happy for the guy. I really am. I'm happy that he did it last night. It's kind of fun watching him do it against the Yankees, which I'm sure, you know, perturbs a lot of the Yankee fans out there, which it should, simply because, you know, Rodless Chapman looks so good in the All-Star game, you know, whoom, whoom, whoom. And then last night hangs a curveball.
Well, there's a slider, right? Is that what it was?
It looked to me like a curveball. I don't know if maybe it were a slider, but I don't know why you wouldn't just throw 100-mile-an-hour, you know, pitch past them.
Yeah, those guys are strange, though. These guys that throw 1,000,000 miles an hour, because if they're like, if they don't feel like they've got their best fastball, they end up leaning on their breaking pitches, and then they end up hanging them. And of course, this was another example of an opposite field, short porch, juiced baseball type of home run. But that's a situation you put yourself in when the first two guys get on, and then you strike out a couple of guys, and all of a sudden, I mean, you're one strike, one out away from another victory, and then that happens.
That's
to you.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two outs.
Two strikes.
Guys
already hit two runs. The guy's already hit two home runs in the game.
There's no way he's going to hit a third, especially off of Chapman.
And it's Travis Darno. I mean, it's not Mike Trout. It's just Travis Darno who just did this. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you're still, what, 5 games up? And it's, I think, 7 now because the Yankees have played more games of 7
but
in the loss.
But you know what, though? But that's a game, man.
That you needed to win.
You got
a big home run in the 8th inning by Edwin Encarnacion. You had a 2-run lead going into the top of the 9th. I mean, it was perfect.
You got to pull away, and you got to win that game, man. But, you know, every now and again, a closer is going to have a meltdown.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a true meltdown because he had a couple outs. He got a couple of strikeouts in a row. And he was one pitch away from making a good pitch from striking out the side and then it not being an issue. Like, this wasn't an Edwin Diaz, he couldn't get an out meltdown.
Believe it or not, as we get ready to watch the induction of Mariano Rivera into the Baseball Hall of Fame, even Mariano Rivera had nights like last night.
Oh, sure.
Even he did. Even the greatest of all time had those moments. So it's one game, but it's just one of those excruciating losses, especially to have Travis d'Arnaud hit three home runs. I don't know what to tell you.
I know it really is. Like, if you think too, like the Mets have a day off, so really nothing is going to be that bad when they have a day off. But then a cast off that they had this year beats the Yankees single handedly, and their top trade target ends up going on the IL. You could not.
Yeah, I don't know. Did they put him on the IL to rest his shoulder? Or they call it shoulder fatigue. They didn't say it's like a labrum. They didn't say it's a tear. They just said it's shoulder fatigue. He's a little tired.
But so now,
give him 2 weeks off and trade him.
I don't know. I mean, to me, that sounds like your Val. I mean, everywhere you read about this, you know, it seems like the unnamed GMs and scouts or whatever are saying this is terrible timing. This is the worst thing that could have happened. His trade value took a major hit. I mean, if he was healthy, don't you think that they would have showcase him in his next couple of starts in front of scouts that were probably on their way to watch him? And now he can't even pitch?
I mean, they're opening in Minnesota tonight, so it would have been nice to see him against American League batters, too. You know, it's the other thing. We see him in the National League where it's a little bit easier to pitch, but to see him go against an American League lineup would have been nice for the scouts for them to see. You know, the other good news for the Yankees that they got, you know, they started here now the second half with four really good, good starting pitching performances.
Sure.
That's the other good thing about what's going on with the Yankees. You know, those guys keep reading about how, you know, Brian Cashman's going to go out there and get another pitcher. No, he's going to get another reliever, whatever it may be. And those guys are all starting to answer the call.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's kind of funny how the beginning of the second half for the Yankees has been these low-scoring games.
Well-pitched games.
Well-pitched games.
They're just not getting the big hits. They did last night.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the biggest type of it. Tie game, two-run homer by Encarnacion in the bottom of the eighth inning. Loading it up perfect on a platter for Aroldis Chapman. I mean, that is a huge hit in a game like that. But Travis d'Arnaud happened to have a bigger hit. So James Paxton last night, other than giving up, you know, a couple of home runs to Travis d'Arnaud, was really good. Defensively, they were really good. It just all came apart in the ninth. It's just as simple as that. And it seems like, you know, the Yankees are focused on, you know, not just adding a starting pitcher, but also going out and adding to the bullpen again, like you saw last year.
Yeah, without question.
Like you saw last year with Zach Britton, you know? So Brian Cashman's going to focus on those two things. He's going to have to end up, hope if everybody's healthy, have an abundance of pitchers to choose from.
And even if he doesn't add a starter, I do still believe he will. It may not be somebody that we all consider like a number one. It could be like a number three level starter. They're looking for quality arms is what they're looking for. And they're looking for, you know, more arms. And that's why, they probably need another lefty reliever is what I would think that would also be, you know, very high on the list.
Yeah, and remember last year, that's exactly what he went out and got. And Zach Britton was a lefty reliever. You'll see if he ends up doing it again. But, I mean, there has been a lot of talk around the Yankees and their prospects and who to choose from and all of that. And I guess the Mets were out and scouting Yankees prospects. And Andy Martino tweeted out, the Mets sent Omar Minaya to see Dieve Garcia make his AAA debut. And Garcia is now the Yankees' top pitching prospect. So Omar went to go check on him, which makes everybody think that the Syndergaard trade, if they get a package back that they like, would still be on the table to the Yankees because they probably wouldn't trade their top pitching prospect for Zach Wheeler or Rental, who just went on IL. So that's the more rumors are a bubbling there when it comes to maybe the Yankees and Mets. And that's one that if Brody Van Wagenen had fans left, Mets fans that trusted him and liked him left, he would torpedo those people if he traded Noah Syndergaard to the Yankees. I'm sorry. And I know that Noah has been disappointing, and I know he's been a little mouthy and all of that. But Mets fans still love that son of a gun.
He would have to cut his hair.
Yes, he would have to do that.
Oh, man, I don't know.
He'd have to pitch better, too. That would be another caveat. But that would be, and I'm telling you, if they went on, Noah Syndergaard's getting on a parade float in the Canyon of Heroes with a Yankees championship.
Well, I guess
Brody Van Wagenen will go down as a worse GM than Scott Layden in this
town.
Well,
to me, he's worth a lot more because of because of the control that you still have on him if you do acquire him. That's why I think it all depends on what the package coming back is, you know. Because if we all believe that the Mets are not going to make it this year and it doesn't look like they're going to make it this year, he has got an opportunity, if he wants, to trade a few of these pieces to bring back actual players that will play every single day. One of them may be a starting pitcher every fifth day, but there could be a third baseman involved here. There could be a shortstop involved here if they don't believe their young shortstop down in the minors is good enough. And there may be even be a center fielder, somebody, an actual person to play a position that they're supposed to play.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah. And it really does suck that the two Yankee prospects that we know can hit are terrible defensively in Clint Frazier and Miguel Andujar. You were telling me that those guys were good defensively. Sure, you want Noah Syndergaard? Give me Clint Frazier, Andujar, and your top pitching prospect, and let's go. Fine. You want to make
would
that
you
deal?
Take, would you take I'll that? Make, yeah, of course you would.
I mean, but also you got to remember, Andujar's coming off a major injury, and he's not great at third base. And Clint Frazier, of course, has had his defensive woes. So you have to think about that if he's going to a National League team.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.